B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Five in me. 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 3 o'clock hours brought to you by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Have fun in that first hour. That's the kind of mode that I like to be in before a draft. Tomorrow, depending on how things go, we might not be able to be in such a fun mood. Or if the Phillies lose again, assuming they can even play. It looks terrible outside. Everybody out there, be careful, please. I know we don't like people on the Bluetooth. By all means, today with this weather, be on the Bluetooth. We do not care. It's dangerous out there. And for the people in South Jersey, especially with that big flooding, let's just hope that if they say move, move. And they say if you're driving and you see the standing water, turn around. Because a bunch of people in my town got stuck. The town I grew up in Pensauken, they were posted on. The firefighters ended up having to rescue people because they got themselves into the deep, deep water. And they couldn't get out. So be careful out there with this bad weather. Apparently, looking at the weather forecast, after about 10 a.m. tomorrow, we're supposed to have really nice the rest of Friday, really nice on Saturday, really nice on Sunday. We need a few nice days to dry out because it's terrible living here. I mean, we live in a rainforest.
Living in Seattle.
Why does it rain every day?
It's terrible.
Rains all the time.
It's terrible. I can't stand it. So that's the only thing. Other than that, we're great. Other than Bryce Harper, the Phillies, and worrying about the Sixers draft and the weather, we're good. Like, think about it. Like, without those couple of things, we're solid. All right, Bob in Mayfair, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Hi, Tyrone.
How are you, Bob?
All right, you nailed it with the Phillies' demise. McCutchen gets hurt. Able to plug him in the center field, put the Kingery at third. But the second reason, the seminal loss of the season was last Friday. Do you realize if they had won that game last Friday, they'd still only be out of the first place by a game and a half?
Yeah, and I said it at the time, but you know what that came down to? Defense.
I know.
If Quinn is playing center field that day,
I know.
Or if McCutchen's playing left, one of them get to that ball, game over. Instead, that ball hangs in the air forever. The Braves win and it changed the whole thing. And that was the one game where Bryce Harper actually hit a home run.
But I'm grasping at straws with this one. I bat Harper fifth. I don't care what anybody says. Bat him fifth, and I think he's going to drive in a lot of runs.
But why? Who now? All right, if you want to bat him fifth, like let's say I don't dismiss that. Who's batting 1, 2, 3, 4?
You got Kingery leading off. You got
Kingery leading off. Okay.
Segura second.
Uh-huh.
You got Romualdo third.
Realmuto third.
You got Hoskins fourth, and then I think Clark will get more pitches, or Hoskins will get more pitches, one or the other. Hoskins is another one.
And then who's batting behind him now? What, Bruce? Jay Bruce?
Oh, I know. McCarthy said last night, all good teams go through this, but they're not a good team anymore. That's a damn shame.
They're not. Now, do you have a pick?
Yeah, Mario Lanza.
Who?
Mario Lanza, famous opera star.
Oh, he's Philadelphia. That's an opera star?
Yes, yeah. I've heard of him.
My opera star and movie star also.
Oh, he's in the movies back in the day doing a little opera?
Yeah. If somebody calls from South Philly, just ask him about Mario Lanza.
All right.
I can tell you his life story.
No, I got you. All right, Mario Lanza. Okay.
Yeah, he was big back in the day. I believe he's on that mural in South Philadelphia with Al Martino.
Oh, okay.
Those guys. So, yeah,
excuse my ignorance. I'm not big in
there.
There
is a Mario Lanza Park as well.
Yeah.
There is?
Yeah.
In the Italian market.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, well, then the South Philly's going to be mad at me now twice in 1 week. That's on me.
All right, I'll add that to their list.
Yes.
All right, I got to go with my girl, Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross.
Who not only did she make the flag, but do you know the story about how Betsy Ross is credited with distracting the leader of the German auxiliary who was here with the British? And allegedly, her husband died. Betsy's husband died,
yeah.
Mr. Ross. And she was only like 24 or 25 when this happened. And she met, I think his name was like Van Loop or Van Floop or something.
She used some of her womanly charms?
In Mount Holly. distracted him, and apparently he wasn't able to be in position enough for the time for the Battle of Trenton, in which George Washington won.
I'll look at that.
Look so at that. Betsy Ross deserves Betsy Ross. A lot more credit than just the flag.
And she
just
does.
An FYI.
And you see out there, the lesson could be learned there. I don't know what the lesson is. But Betsy did what she had to do to get the job done.
Look, we don't know exactly what she did, but...
Well, we know she did something.
But, I mean, she was there.
Yeah, Betsy did something.
She was on the front lines. That's a, I guess that's like a myth or whatever. I remember learning that when I was younger.
I'm not saying it's a myth. What about the flag?
What about the flag?
Did she have something to do with a flag?
Yeah, I said aside from making the flag.
Yeah, she made the flag.
Yeah, but aside from that, she also did this. I think that part gets left out of American history.
It shouldn't get left out.
No, it shouldn't.
Taking care of business.
Yeah.
Yep.
Van Loop fell right for it, or Van Fleet.
Yep.
Oh, Fred Van Fleet.
Van Fleet.
Wait,
got distracted. So Betsy Ross was the one bothering him during the Sixers series, and that's why he couldn't play. Then once he got out there in the finals, he was making every three-pointer.
Wait,
terrifying. Let me look up his name.
Betsy Ross, right? It's Betsy Ross and somebody else. They have the mascots.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of Franklin, they have the terrifying Betsy Ross that roams around there.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I might have butchered his name. Carl Von Donop. D-O-N-O-P.
You know what? It's fine.
It's Von something.
The names don't matter.
Right. But yeah.
There we are so far. So, opera singer Betsy Ross. I feel like we won that round again. No disrespect to the opera. I mean, culture.
I mean, Betsy Ross could have been a good singer for all we know.
She was probably a great singer.
Maybe that's how she distracted
him. She serenaded him.
Who knows? And fixed all the buttons on the suit.
Yeah, she did.
Yep, and the suit probably didn't smell good.
Held him out of position. He couldn't get to the Battle of Trenton.
Man, why are you rushing off the war? You can hang with me more. That's probably what she said.
Yeah.
What you in a hurry for? That John over there, she knows she used John.
Yeah.
She was the first person I heard. Betsy said John first.
I cook, I sew. Why do you gotta leave?
Right.
You got it made with me.
Look at you. You
know, Carl.
You're in a war, Carl. Come on, Carl. Mitch in Collegeville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. First time, long time.
Appreciate it, Mitch.
Just wanted to go off topic. I know we've been harping on the Phillies. No pun intended with that.
Yes.
But wanted to say, for the draft coming up tonight.
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts on Cameron Johnson from UNC?
Well,
you draft him and then you can sort of let go of Tobias Harris?
I've seen some mock drafts where he's there. And first of all, he's my first pick because he can really shoot it. He's older. Yep. And I think he can play right away. Assuming that, but
that's what Brand said.
But my fear is I don't believe he's going to be there. I would use a second round pick or two to trade up if I'm them. They've done all the research, they've done all the workouts, but I think he fits perfectly. And it also helps because it's Carolina. I've seen him play so many times, and I think Roy Williams knows how to coach pros. I trust a North Carolina pro more than a Duke pro 10 out of 10 times.
Well, I'm a Duke fan. So I
apologize. I feel pity for you.
It's fine, but that's why I'm like, as an unbiased fan, I like Cameron Johnson's game molding very well, so maybe letting go Tobias so we can sign Jimmy Butler.
Well, No. You don't have to do that. You can have all three. You don't. No. He's not a direct replacement. He's not going to be ready to do that, but he's a guy who can fit in and you can groom. And I like him. And just to be clear, the NBA draft is not off topic. I would love to talk about it. It's just, if we're being completely honest,
yep.
Just like the NFL draft, people are not going over tons and tons of tape and going over their picks. They'll react to the picks and they'll hate it tomorrow without any real knowledge of the player. That's what we all do in football and basketball. So that's all it is. That's absolutely what we do.
But can I get my draft in?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to stick with basketball, and I'm going to go the highest NBA point scorer in a single game, Wilt Chamberlain.
All right, Wilt Chamberlain, that's a fine pick. He's on everybody's board.
Yeah.
He's on everybody's board. So the first sports person goes off the board, which is completely legitimate, a man who was larger than life from Philadelphia, Mr. Wilt Chamberlain. That means it is now time for Andrew to make his pick. It's his turn.
Yeah, so we were lucky to have the war room before the show started, and we had our draft board.
Uh-huh.
We also have scouts on our team.
We did have some scouts.
Yeah,
scout Anthony Gargano reached out to us about a 6-foot guard out of Virginia who is willing to transfer here for about 7 years. And that's George Washington.
George Washington.
Yes.
So you look this up. This is courtesy of
our scout, Anthony Gargano. Yes.
So similar to Allen Iverson.
Yes.
George Washington's path was from Virginia, Hampton Roads, up through D.C.
Sure was.
To Philadelphia.
Sure was.
And then back to Virginia after.
Yes, it was.
He lived here for 7 years?
At least 7 years. I know he lived in the what was the White House in Philadelphia for
right.
7 years.
7 years. We know about what went down out in Valley Forge. That's in the area for sure.
Yeah.
We know about crossing the Delaware, which is a lot less impressive once you become an adult and you see that you can almost throw a rock across the Delaware and you brag about, you guys crossed this in the
cold? I think he crossed at a wider part.
I don't know.
There's a wider parts once you get further down.
There better be.
There are.
Otherwise.
So I've heard.
Why are you telling me this story for? I can skip a rock across there. You're in there. No wonder the guy had time to do a painting. Halfway through, the guy started, hold on, let me draw you. We'll be right there. So he did the full drawing with him in the boot. That's not heroic, but hell of a pick there. And what round is that? This is great value right there.
We're in the sixth round here.
That's great value.
Yeah, George Washington.
In the sixth
round.
Knowing
that he might go back to Virginia at some point.
Yeah.
Got him in the sixth round.
Now, right. Who would have ever connected that George Washington and Allen Iverson have something in common?
There you go. And if we're being completely honest, I bet you, looking down from heaven or wherever he may be, he wish he owned Allen. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Ty.
Huh? I'm sorry. I can't let it go.
It's okay.
I hold long grudges.
It's okay.
I bet you no. Imagine the work he could have. Nope. Let's. I'm sorry. I mean, come on.
Well, he's on our team.
Do you want him on our team?
That's why I dropped to the sixth round.
Okay.
Off the court behavior.
Big character concerns with George. All right? Talent is off the charts. That's the thing about him. He's arguably the most talented player in the entire draft.
But yeah.
Off the field concerns. What happens if I'm the head coach? Would he listen?
He definitely would not listen. He didn't listen to anybody.
There you go. So I don't know if he'd be a great team guy, but that's why we have his old sage, a guy who can mentor him in the locker room, in Big Ben Franklin. Richard the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Tyler? How you doing, man?
What's up, Rich?
Hey, listen, real quick, explain the contest to me. I came in kind of late here.
All right. So what it is, just to reset, is the All-Philadelphia Draft. Okay, so if the person has Philadelphia ties, Philadelphia area, the Delaware Valley as we know it, you can go as north to Trenton and all the way to Cape May. We're just going back and forth drafting all kinds, sports, actors, politicians, luminaries, you name it, that is the draft. That's
right,
what we're playing
enough.
So far.
Now, on to my sports point at
yes,
the
sir.
End, I'll chime into that.
Okay.
Hey, so I got to ask you, first, Who are the Sixers? What are you looking for the Sixers to take tonight?
Well, from everything that I read, and we'll talk to Keith Pompey, but everything I've read, NBC Sports, Philadelphia's Paul Hudrick as well, it looks like they want a guy who can contribute right away. Kind of like Landry Shamet did last year.
Right.
Therefore, that eliminates a guy like Bol Bol, for example, because there's no way he can play right away. There's just no way he can play right away. Physically, his game, I don't know if he could play defense ever. So a player like him, if he was to fall, I don't think he fits. So that leaves you with some seniors that are kind of interesting. Cameron Johnson, the last caller mentioned. Thibel, he's a guy that's interesting. Junior, Ty Jerome, who just won, he's an interesting guy. Pascal from Villanova, another senior, and then you get Carson Edwards. So you're looking for upperclassmen-type guys who would be ready but will probably never be stars. That's what I'm looking for if I'm the Sixers in this draft today, tonight.
All right, fair enough. So we're looking for bench, essentially.
Yeah, you're looking for bench. And maybe a fringe starter down the road, but you're definitely not looking for a guy who's going to be the difference in winning a title or not in year number one. I don't think that's realistic.
Oh, absolutely. That's why you go for the number one pick. But at the same time, I hear everybody calling in about Carson Edwards.
Yeah.
The dude lit it up in college, but doesn't that kind of counteract to what we're looking for?
Not necessarily. He can come off the bench right away, I believe, and make open shots. And I think playing with Ben Simmons, playing with Joel Embiid and those guys, he'll get open looks, and I think he can make them. And I'm worried about him being 6 foot. I am, just like everyone else. His wingspan being 6 foot six helps me some because I think he'll be able to get shots off in the NBA. That's an opinion. And I also like that he has a thick body, so I think he'll be able to play right away. Physically, I don't know if he'll know how to play, but physically he won't be overwhelmed as far as because he's built like a bowling ball.
See, now that's interesting because even though he can play physically, everybody wants JJ to come off the bench now. And with a 6 foot point guard, you can't have them both on the court at the same time.
And you don't worry about that. You don't worry about that. This is if you draft him, if you think he's the best player, if you think he can help you, he comes off the bench. We don't even know if JJ Redick for sure is back. That's the thing about the NBA draft. You have a plan, but you don't know if that plan is going to go perfectly. NBA and NFL is a little different. They do free agency first. Then they do the draft. It's different now. So you're drafting now, and then in 10 days, literally 10 days from today, a week from Sunday, then you have free agency begin. So it's a little bit of different type of situation. It's a different kind of deal. So, but I'm not going to not take Carson Edwards because he's too – if I think he can help the team, I'm not going to worry about, oh, he doesn't fit with J.J. Redick when J.J. Redick's going to be 35 years old. One shouldn't have anything to do with the other. But he's not a replacement for JJ. I heard somebody called a midday show, and Anthony eviscerated him, humbled him about that. He's not a replacement. He's a added player who, off the bench in a situation, the question would be, can he do one thing? And the thing I think he'll be able to do for the rest of his life is make shots. I think he can really shoot. And I think that's what you're looking for. Can this guy get a stop defensively? That kind of thing. And then you hope that their skill set grows, and you hope to get lucky. You hope to get Jimmy Butler in the 20s, an older guy who wasn't an upperclassman guy who developed into something you didn't expect. That's what your hope is. But even he wasn't a savior at the draft. You're not going to get a savior at 24 or 33 or 34 or any of those other picks. That's just not how it goes.
So, we have tonight's starting lineup.
Oh, we do? We have the lineup tonight?
So I mentioned this when I was hosting on Saturday.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't be surprised if I saw this soon. And Gabe, after game two last night, said he was going to make some changes.
Yeah.
Guess who's leading off tonight?
Now you tell me.
Playing right field, Bryce Harper.
Really?
Wow.
Bryce Harper batting leadoff, which he did a little bit last season.
And you know what?
The Nationals.
He doesn't hit any home runs, so he might as well be a leadoff hitter and has no power.
Now this is where it continues.
Uh-huh.
Batting second, your first baseman, Rhys Hoskins.
You know what? Give your best players more at-bats. I'm fine with it.
And they're getting on base.
Yep.
Their on-base percentages are both high.
Yeah, getting on base. Now, who's going to drive them in?
Jay Bruce will bat third, playing left field.
Like that.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow. All right.
JT Realmuto behind the plate, your cleanup hitter.
Uh-huh.
No message sent to Gene Segura, who is batting fifth, playing shortstop.
I don't think they think they have another option for somebody to play.
Yeah, who are you going to play? Brad Miller?
Yeah, that's why.
If he does it one more time.
Like three strikes are out?
Three strikes are
maybe.
Out. Yeah.
All right. Jetpacks batting sixth in center field. Cesar Hernandez batting seventh.
So hold on. Wait a minute.
Is that Franco's music I'm hearing?
Is he back in the lineup?
Franco's back from the dead.
In the A-hole.
Batting eighth tonight.
There we go. We're going to go back to the phones. Thank you for that.
I'm intrigued
by this lineup. It now makes it to where you have to switch back and forth. You got to watch. Well, for the first 2 hours, you're watching the Phillies anyway. And then when the draft comes, you got to switch back and forth. You can't. This must see on NBC Sports Philly tonight.
It really is.
Must see TV now with this lineup. It's must see TV.
Franco's going to be walking in the locker room today.
Don't call it a comeback.
There we go.
He's ready.
Yeah, he's ready. And if you're not going to play him, why is he on the roster? He didn't play either day yesterday. You lost both games, and you couldn't score runs. And you have a guy, I know he's been in a terrible slump, 151, blah, blah, blah. He might accidentally hit a home run. And in a 2-0 game, and at the time it was a 3-1 game, and he plays in neither game, and Jetpacks was a butcher in that first game at third base.
Well, yeah, let's face it. He's still the best option defensively at third. He's better than Kingery. He's better than Rodriguez.
So
defensively.
So I don't understand why late in the first game, you didn't put Jetpacks in the outfield.
It's not like as much of a center fielder anyway.
So Rodriguez is in the game. You put Jetpacks and put Franco in third, and maybe he falls into one in a 3-1 game. Instead, he puts in Cole Irvin. and then he doesn't play in the second game, and you get shut out. Like, I'm all for replacing him with someone better. I just want to replace him. That's what the coach keeps, the manager keeps doing. So I'm glad he's back in the lineup. Must-see TV now. And maybe Bryce hits a solo home run to lead off the game, like Jimmy Rollins style.
That would be nice.
That'd be nice.
Boost the morale.
They need something.
They need something.
They lose tonight. It could get ugly. I wonder how restless the fans are going to be when they come back home. They're home tomorrow, right?
Well, tomorrow. Yes. But tomorrow is the Utley game.
Yeah. So they're here.
Yeah.
And then he strikes out the first at bat. Is this the first time where he gets a stadium full of boo? Let's hope he hits tonight and it doesn't matter. But I think this is the weekend. Well, then again, well, maybe not, because the people are saying he's giving 110%. So maybe he'll never get booed. So who knows?
Can you make that voice again?
No.
I've never heard that.
That just comes naturally.
Because I don't do anything on purpose. It's all ad lib. It's no script. I didn't know what sound was going to come out of my voice there. That's just the one that happened. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll talk draft with Keith Pompey. May we make Keith Pompey draft somebody as well?
Oh, yes. Well, because the last caller, we didn't get a chance to hear his pick.
Yeah, because he went a little long. So Keith Pompey will
He has to pick up for the callers.
Absolutely. So 610-632-0975. We'll talk to Keith Pompey. Then right back to your calls for the rest of the show. Philly's on the table. Bryce Harper, when will he be criticized? Sixers NBA draft and our all Philadelphia area draft. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in from Mike Missanelli. Draft in just 4 to 5.5 hours. NBA draft. And live from the NBA draft, covers the Sixers for the Inquirer, Mr. Keith Pompey. What's going on, Keith? How's everything?
Yeah, everything's well. What's going on, buddy?
No, thanks for coming on. Now, I read what you wrote earlier about how the Sixers, Elton Brand, they want a player who can contribute immediately. Now, just to be clear, to clarify for some fans, what does that mean? Because we know that the odds of getting a star at 24 are very unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, contribute right away means, like, you know, in the past, well, it means basically having a guy who can be a top eight rotation in play, like a guy similar to, like, Landry Shamet. Like, they got him late at 26, I believe it was last year, but he was what, the second guard off the bench, if not the first. And that's what they're looking for. I mean, you know, the thing is, and opposed to, like, let's just say if they got a young guy, a one and done,
yeah,
who could be extremely raw, but he has a huge upside. But right now, they're trying to win a championship next year. That guy isn't going to help him. He's going to be in the Chi League. So they can probably do that in the second round, but in the first round, they're looking for someone who can fit in and be in the top eight rotation. That's what that's what they mean by immediate help.
No, absolutely. Now, I want to ask you about a couple guys. First of all, take out the Sixers. Just in your observation, I know you were at some of those workouts. I know you watch, whenever you get a chance, you watch some college ball. Do you have any player that you personally prefer more than the rest if he was there at 24?
I like Cameron Johnson, and I know there are some concerns over his injury history. You know, some people talk about his defense, but, you know, like if the Sixers do what they're supposed to do, you know, they're going to have, you know, quality players ahead of them. So I like the fact that he is the best shooter in the draft. That's all people talk about. And, you know, he just seems like a guy that you can fit in. and he can do what Landry Shamet did for you, and he's bigger than Landry. So that's the guy I think the Sixers should go after.
Right, and so you know they have a lot of draft ammo. So you're sitting there with 24, 33, 34. Let's look at those picks real fast. Would you part with 33, 34 to maybe move up a few slots if you could to get him? Because I've seen on some mock drafts, he's gone. Some, he's their pick. I've seen a mix. Would you move up a little bit if you started to hear that other guys were high on him to try to get him, or is he not worth that kind of move?
It depends on, like, if I have to give up both of them, and I don't know if I would do that. I mean, if I had to give up both, as much as I like them, you know, it's just a thing where, like, for like this draft, a lot of people talk about how weak this draft is. I don't think it's weak. What I think is there's not as many stars, like as many, like, you know, Zion Williams, Ja Morant, you know. But in regards to, like, let's just say if you moved up and you go, and all you needed is like one of those picks to move up to 21, but you still have 34 left. Well, with 34, you can still be able to possibly get Luka Samanich, you know what I mean? Get, you know, Dylan Windler, you know, Lewis King. Now, he's a project, and so is Samanich, but at the same time, you got the ready player, and then you're able to also get someone, you know, who basically can develop and be a star down the road. So you're getting two for one, as opposed to giving up both of them, and all you have is one guy.
Now, that makes a lot of sense, because, and also those guys will be cost control guys in the future when they're going to need cost control guys, especially after Ben Simmons gets his max after next season. Now, the guy that people, a lot of fans are really enamored with, and he's polarizing because of his size, Carson Edwards. I know he was in for a workout. A lot of people saw him torch Villanova in the tournament, so that's part of the reason why people gravitate to him. What do you think of him, and what do you think the Sixers think of him?
Oh, I like him. I mean, and they like him, too. I mean, the only thing is, I think that, you know, where are you going to play him? Or what role is he going to have? You know, I mean, I can see people saying, you know, you need a shooter, you need a scorer. And I think if he's available, and let's just say the kid from Washington, Matisse Tribal, is gone, and so is Cam Johnson, well, then you have to consider him. But the question is like, is he going to be a liability on defense because of his size? And then secondly, you know, he's the type of guy who's extremely ball dominant. So when he comes in, do you just want to spread the floor and let a rookie just, like, take all the dribbles? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as good as a player he is he the perfect fit for the Sixers? That's what you have to ask yourself.
What do you think about a lot of people saw him. I saw him. Mike loves him, because of how solid he was in college, and he thinks that over time he may be able to help him. Ty Jerome, only because he's a junior, so he's an upperclassman. He's won, obviously, on the biggest stage. He probably wouldn't be afraid of the moment. I know they had him in as well. What are your thoughts on him? Do you think he would be a guy who could play year one, or would he need, because of his how slight he is on his build, need to build up before he could really play?
I mean, I think he's a great option, and you know, a lot of people have him on their mocks and stuff like that. But, you know, I think because of the position he plays, you know, he's, like, you know, really ball dominant. If I'm the Sixers, you know, would probably try to tackle that in free agency. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, probably getting, like, a veteran guy. Because, let's face it, you know, you need a guy who can, you know, play on and off the ball to go along with Ben Simmons. So, you know, I think when you have a rookie like that, you know, as good as he is, you might as well keep T.J. McConnell, just because at least you know what he can do, you know, on the next level, as opposed to putting a lot of confidence and faith in a guy who probably might struggle a little bit out of the gate. Now, again, if he's there at 33 or 34, then, yeah, you probably might want to take him. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like, you know, will he actually be in their top eight if they bring everybody back? You know what I mean? That's another question.
Yeah, probably not. Not right away.
No.
No, now, the Villanova product, he's all up and down on boards. Some people are Pascal. Some people thought he was going to be a second round pick. He's now worked out for teams in the higher, like around 20, 21, 22. What do you think? And so really my main question with him, everybody around here knows him. Do you think he'll shoot it well enough on the next level to help a team right away? Because he is an upperclassman.
I do. And I think a team that's a good fit for him, believe it or not, is like the Golden State Warriors. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, he could possibly be a late guy. The Warriors, you look at it, you know, we don't know if KD's coming back. You know, even if he did come back, he wasn't going to play next year. The same thing with Clay. You know what I mean? I think he's going to come back, but he's not going to play. And that's a space where they'll get a guy who can come in as a rookie and get a lot of burn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say, like a lot of the workouts that the Sixers have, like they were hit and miss. Sometimes we would see a lot. Sometimes we wouldn't see anything. And it just so happened the one, and when he worked out, we saw a lot. And he was like the best player on the floor. I mean, he was out there like destroying people. And it wasn't like him using his girth, you know, to outweigh muscle his way. It was his skill. Like he was hitting jumpers. He was getting in the lane. I mean, he was doing a lot of stuff. And, you know, I was impressed by him because, you know, I covered the Sixers, but, you know, you look at him, you say, oh, this guy's an undersized, you know, post player. How good can he be? But in that workout, I mean, he looked great.
He looked great. So that's pretty telling. Now, I only want to ask you real fast before we're done. One-and-done type guy, it seems to be, he's all over the board. Some people have him going 14th. Some people have him going 28th. That's bowl. I know the Sixers aren't, that's not, and let's say the Sixers were to trade back into the first round. Let's just make up a scenario where they traded 33-34 to get back in. Do you think they would have any interest in him only because people are so intrigued because of what he might be because of his size if they're willing to wait?
I wouldn't take him. Yesterday I was up here and they had like the interviews and he walked past me. And, you know, he's rail thin. I mean, we talked about Nerlens Noel being skinny when he was here. I mean, this guy is thin. And, you know, my concern for him is, like, at this particular time, is he going to be able to withstand, you know, being in the paint with, like, you know, the big dogs? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he can do it. He's thin, man. He's really thin. So I think he's going to, as good as he is, I think he's going to be a project, and me saying that, who knows, he may make all rookies, but I wouldn't take him.
So no matter what, you wouldn't take him at 24 or 30 either. For example, you're not taking him.
Nah, I wouldn't because I don't think, I mean, as big as he is, and there's a lot of hype, first of all, he missed most of the year, right?
Yeah, with the injury, and we know all about those foot injuries.
We know about that, and then like, you know, is he big? Is he better than Boban? I mean, I know he got hyped up, but honestly, like,
not right away. He's not. No way.
Huh?
I don't think he right away. I don't think there's any chance. No.
Yeah. Right. So that, you know, that's my thing. And like again, I get it. Like if this was a different year, and they were tanking and this and that, but you know, I just saw how small he is. You know, I don't know if I would give him. I mean, I don't know if I would draft him just by looking at his size. I mean, who knows? The Sixers may mess around and do it, and I'm gonna have egg in my face. But looking at how thin that guy is, I don't think that, you know, he can help the Sixers.
No, I actually agree with you. In the second round, maybe if he was there, maybe I would think about it. But I agree, absolutely. Thanks so much, Keith, for your great work on the Inquirer, and thanks for some time today.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on, Ty.
All right. That's Keith Pompey from the Inquirer. What happened now?
I forgot to get his pick.
Oh, I forgot. I did. I was late. That's on me.
All right.
I wanted
to hear who he would have went with.
You should have told Andrew to type it on the screen.
I could text him real quick.
Well, text him, and we'll try to get it on the other side. Try to get his pick on the other side. Because he's not in the listening area, so he might not be aware of what's going on.
Oh, that's true, too.
So, 610-632-0975. Another phone calls the rest of the program. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's another one, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Neptune's N.E.R.D. song. Since Keith Pompey was on at 3:30, we'll update the Twitter poll now, and it's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
Thanks, Ty. Over 1,400 votes on this one so far. Should Bryce Harper be taking more of the heat for the Phillies slide? 48% say yes, 52% say no. So it's getting closer.
Getting closer.
We're about at 50-50.
Yes, and the lineup's out. He's batting leadoff. Segura in the lineup. I personally would have sat him down, but the manager also knows they're in a losing streak and they have to try to win. So it's up to him to deliver. He's playing. He better hustle today. Otherwise, there'll be people. Well, there's already people calling for his job, but they're stupid. There'll be smart people calling for his job if Segura does it again. Segura has to now have his manager's back because the manager had his back. He told him it was unacceptable. That's kind of where we're at with that. But Bryce Harper absolutely should be taking more heat. NBA draft in 5 hours and 10 minutes, and Harper should absolutely be taking more heat. It's like he's just walking around comfortable. Philadelphia has this way to make you uncomfortable when you're not playing well. Like, you see these, there's a reason Ben Simmons has to post on the social media in a gym every day now.
Right.
Because it now would be uncomfortable for him around the city if he doesn't do that. If he comes back the same, it will be uncomfortable for him to move around in this city. There's a reason Joel Embiid looks jacked already, working with a trainer up in New York, because it will be uncomfortable for him. And he's absolutely with the people. It will be uncomfortable for him moving around if he comes back heavy, eating a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
Bryce is just comfortable as could be. He should be uncomfortable batting under 250. And I don't even care about batting average in the conventional sense, but it's with no power. And when I say no power, no home runs, don't give me, I know those doubles are cute. Doubles are cute when you're in first place.
Well,
doubles get you nothing down four games.
Well, and I think that's why he's getting cute with the base running, is because he knows he's not producing.
Yeah, probably.
I think part of the reason why people aren't as outraged as what we would expect them to be is because he is doing everything else right. It's not like he is a terrible defenseman.
No, he's been
it's
solid.
Not like he's a terrible right fielder, so he's hitting 240 and is also making an error a night. Like, he's making it up in other aspects, which is why I don't think there's that much outrage, which is why I'm not as angry as you. I'm disappointed that he's not hitting over 275. I'm disappointed that he doesn't have 20 home runs at this point. But because he's doing so many other things well, not that I'm saying it's okay that he only has 12 home runs and is hitting 241. It's not. But I think eventually the hitting starts to come along.
See, everybody says that. And that's the part that I don't agree
with. That's what I was saying earlier. What's the leash? How long do you give him?
I'm done.
You're done, right.
I need it now. Tonight, I need power.
Right, oh, yeah. Because how much further are they going to slide?
That's what I'm saying. I'm afraid of them being down 6-7 games.
It's the offense. They're losing on the offense.
Yep, absolutely.
By the way, we have Keith Pompey's answer.
Oh.
Well, what's his pick?
So now you have to have one, because he's for the audience, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're going to make your pick after this one.
Uh-huh.
Sonny Hill.
So he goes the legendary Sonny Hill.
And he says, for all the basketball careers he helped to develop over the years.
All right.
Community guy in Philly.
A community pick. Now, this one, I'm going to go entertainment in this particular pick. I'm going to go one, Dick Clark.
Oof.
If he goes old school basketball, I'm going old school entertainment.
Nice.
I'm going Dick Clark with my pick.
I love that one.
So that's where we are so far. Was that round seven that was?
Yes.
All right, yes. So I'm going Dick Clark. So that's where we are with that. Let's try to get a call in here. Penny in Temple, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Tyrone?
What's up, Penny?
So I have a question. what exactly do you think is a bright spot for the Phillies right now? Because the pitching sucks. No one's hitting well. Everyone's really streaky. There's problems in the clubhouse. Like, what exactly do I have to
I don't. I don't know if there's a problem in the clubhouse. I don't know if that's true. But Jetpacks is the bright spot. And Eflin. Eflin's been good. It wasn't his fault they lost yesterday. Eflin, do you ask me the two bright spots? Kingery looks like he's real. That contract was smart. Last year was the aberration. All the other years is real. We're real. And Eflin, if there was one pitcher that they were banking on, they didn't think it was going to be him. I think they thought it was going to be Velasquez or Pervetta or Eichhoff, but it turned out to be Eflin. Eflin is the bright spot along with Kingery. Those are the two bright spots.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. I think, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I do agree. I think Eflin and Kingery are definitely two bright spots. But correct me if I'm wrong. I think Eflin is, what, 6-7 so far this season?
Yeah, but you can't go by his record. He's not. He has been their best pitcher.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. My point is that if he's pitching, what I think his ERA is 2.82 and he's 6-7, then you know, it's almost like his effort's gone in vain, basically.
It has. Baker. And you know why? Because the guy you spend all the money on, not hitting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because I tell you what, if he hits three home runs in three of those starts and he's at 15 instead of 12 right now, his record might be three games better.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And Bryce, I don't think he gets the All-Star bid this year. I don't think he deserves it.
Maybe he shouldn't get in.
Yeah, he shouldn't get it. If he got in, it'd be...
To me, Real Muto's their All-Star. They get one, and that's that. That's what I would do if I was voting. Who's your pick?
So, my pick is, and I'm surprised no one said him yet, Kobe Bryant.
All right. Kobe Bryant is your pick. Thank you. And now, before we go to break, Natalie, it is your turn to counter Kobe Bryant.
I'm going to counter Kobe with another Philadelphia institution in place here in Philly since the bicentennial, the one and only grandfather of Philadelphia, Jim Gardner.
Jim Gardner.
I'm going Jim Gardner.
Yeah, you know.
Look, sports opinions aside, okay?
I mean, listen, you
sure we don't love him for that.
Listen, that wasn't discussed in the war room. Well, we're a team and we're on board.
What?
Jim's a legend.
He's been on the air here for 40 years, 50 years.
I heard you.
I feel like this is the first one that you guys are disappointed in.
I'm not disappointed. You know my feelings. Yeah. I've said them on social media.
You've said he's a legend.
I am. He is.
With bad sports opinions.
Horrendous.
I know.
All right. but he is a legend. 610-632. I got some numbers on the other side from Andrew. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Masinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.